Hello, everybody. My name is Melissa Letourneau, and I'm a PhD student in the Department of Crop and Soil Sciences at Washington State University, working with Jim Harsh and Linda Thomashow on this project, which concerns the impact of phenazine-producing pseudomonads on the bioavailability of iron and manganese in a rhizosphere of wheat. So iron and manganese in aerated soils tend to be present in their oxidized forms, which means they precipitate out as insoluble minerals that are inaccessible for uptake by plant roots. And so this has ramifications for crop health, mainly because iron and manganese are required for essential redox processes, you know, photosynthesis, respiration, oxidative stress coping mechanisms. And in addition, the wheat has to produce siderophores, often to extract iron and manganese from minerals, and this requires an investment of carbon, nitrogen, and sulfur. So this can influence potentially crop yields under iron-deficient conditions. So the compound that we're looking at is phenazine carboxylic acid. And the reason we originally became interested in this compound is because it suppresses the fungal pathogen Geomonomyces graminis var. Which is responsible for take-all disease of wheat, the devastating crop disease. So that's how we originally became interested in this compound. But there have been other biomedical groups studying this compound in reference to the virulence of Pseudomonas aeruginosa, which is an opportunistic human pathogen. And these groups have found that the compound can reductively dissolve iron and manganese oxides in culture systems, and that it can facilitate electron transfer under slightly anaerobic conditions, such as biofilms. So this is the result that has inspired my current project. Basically, this is a precipitation map of the Columbia Basin in central Washington. And you can see in the driest areas, there are a lot of large dots, and those represent high colonization frequencies of PCA-producing pseudomonads. So they seem to be thriving under dry conditions. And in fact, in one instance, They don't show up in the irrigated field. So in one instance, there was an irrigated and a dryland field across the road, literally from each other. And you don't find the PCA producers in the irrigated field, only under dryland conditions. And the red spots represent areas where we measured the concentration of the PCA, and we found up to 1 microgram per gram fresh root of this compound. So it's present in high concentrations under dry conditions. And this is a little bit strange because dry soil conditions are not those that you associate with anaerobic conditions. And so what we think is happening is in response to the desiccating conditions, the bacteria may be forming biofilms like this one. So this is a PCA-producing reference strain that we use in our lab, and it's forming a biofilm on a wheat root that's just 1 week old. And you can see already there's a nice matrix of extracellular polymers, which can protect the bacteria from desiccation, potentially, but it can also create anaerobic microsites, limiting oxygen diffusion. And under these conditions, the iron can be used as an alternative terminal electron acceptor in the bacterial respiration. And so that's what we think this compound is doing. So the objective of our research is to determine the impact of PCA upon iron and manganese dynamics in a rhizosphere of wheat. And our hypothesis is that PCA increases iron and manganese availability to wheat roots. So in order to test this hypothesis, we have to perform microcosm experiments. This can't be done in the field if you want to use the soil in which these bacteria, you know, the natural environment of these bacteria. So the soil that we're using is Ritzville silt loam, but in order to establish PCA-free controls, we have to autoclave the soil to eliminate the indigenous populations of PCA producers. And so actually these experiments were quite labor intensive to develop and also to run, but you can see we get very nice root systems out of them. And the other thing that we've been able to accomplish with these experiments is we've been able to accomplish 2 different soil moisture regimes representative of dryland and irrigated conditions using the heat dissipation sensors, which are the small cylinders on the left-hand side of the center image. All right, so we have 2 bacterial treatments in addition to our 2 watering treatments. We have a PCA plus treatment that's, we inoculate the seed with our PCA producing reference strain, Pseudomonas fluorescens 279. And we have a PCA free treatment that we've inoculated with an isogenic mutant impaired in PCA synthesis. And so for our analyses of the samples we collect in these experiments, for the rhizosphere soil, we're looking at the poorly crystalline iron and manganese extracted with hydroxylamine hydrochloride. We're looking at the total non-silicate bound iron extracted with citrate dithionite. And then we're also looking at biomass, iron, and manganese using nitric acid digests. So here's a summary of the iron chemistry we've collected on some of these experiments. You can see our experimental design, the two watering treatments and the two bacterial treatments, and then all of the different analyses. All the numbers in bold have yielded significant differences, whereas the non-bolded numbers are not significantly different. And so you can see the soil iron is significantly different between our treatments, and some of the shoot data is different. All right, for the manganese chemistry, it's the same summary. We didn't find any significant differences within the manganese data set, but I'd like to point out one interesting aspect. The shoot-to-root ratio of manganese is much, much higher than the shoot-to-root ratio of iron, and so that simply illustrates the slightly better bioavailability of manganese, since it typically has a higher reduction potential in soils. It's a little bit easier often for plants to get at the manganese. So I think that's just a little bit interesting side result. All right, so to take a closer look at the iron chemistry, these are box plots of the poorly crystalline iron and the total free iron for both the dry and the irrigated treatments. And you can see in all cases the PCA plus treatment has higher concentrations of iron, and especially poorly crystalline iron. The data aren't presented here, but I also found that the ratio of the poorly crystalline to the total free iron is higher for the PCA plus treatment. And so this can be explained either by saying that the PCA is promoting accumulation of poorly crystalline iron in the rhizosphere, or the PCA is inhibiting uptake by the plant. And so when you look at the shoot chemistry, in this image, the concentration data are shown on the left and the total uptake is shown on the right. There is a slightly significant difference between the uptake and the shoot iron between the PCA plus and the PCA minus treatment, and the PCA plus actually appears to be slightly inhibiting iron uptake. But this is not enough to account for the big difference in the soil, not by a long shot when you think in terms of mass balance. And so maybe there's a little bit of both processes going on here. Okay, the iron chemistry of the roots, we didn't see any significant differences except between the dry and the irrigated treatments. And the interesting thing is that the dry treatments seem to be absorbing more iron than the irrigated treatment. The dry roots seem to be absorbing more iron than the irrigated roots. And then, as I mentioned before, there were no significant differences in either the soil or the biomass data for the manganese chemistry. So our conclusions are that the rhizosphere extractable iron is more abundant for the PCA plus than for the PCA minus treatment. The iron uptake into the shoots is slightly higher in the PCA minus treatment, but it isn't by a long shot enough to account for the difference in the soil. And so this suggests that possibly the PCA is promoting some accumulation of iron in the rhizosphere. And then the manganese was unaffected by the treatments but seemed to be more readily taken up by the shoots as indicated by the shoot-to-root ratios. And with that, I'd like to thank my other committee members, lab technicians, Washington State University Department of Crop and Soil Sciences, and a couple of funding sources. And thank you very much. Yeah? We have time for questions?
Yes, yes, plenty of time.
You're saying that the soluble iron was increased in solution, yet uptake was reduced.
Not the soluble iron. We're not looking at soluble ferrous iron here. We're looking at still solid phase iron. This is all in air-dried soil. So we're really looking just at the crystallinity of the iron and the content of the iron. We are too. We're very surprised by that finding. It was unexpected, and it's in contrast. You know, it kind of goes against our hypothesis. One of the possibilities is the PCA is slightly toxic. It's an antibiotic compound, and so there may be a slight root toxicity component. We didn't see a difference in biomass, but it may, since it's a kind of a respiratory short circuit, it may be inhibiting uptake because uptake is an energetically expensive process. So So that's one possibility. And we have seen that difference over a couple experiments now, so we have some confidence in that result. But it was definitely unexpected, so that side of it does not support our hypothesis. But the accumulation of iron in the rhizosphere may, and we have to look a little bit more to figure out where that iron is going exactly, where it's coming from.
So we have time for one more question in the back.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well. Oh. The microbes were inoculated onto the seeds, actually. And we usually, the initial cell densities are usually around 10 to the minus 7 CFU per gram fresh root. At the end of the experiment, they tend to vary between 10 to the minus 6 and 10 to the minus 8, and they tend to be lower for the dry treatment and the wet treatment. So there's quite a variability at the end of the experiment. But usually it's around 10 to the minus 7 CFU per gram root.
I think there's still one more question, if anyone has any more questions. All right, if there are no more, everyone thank our speaker for presenting.
Thanks.